gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your boys lockdown. We are back. Oh no, I forgot the episode number again. 17?
18.
17, dude, I swear.
18.
This is getting ridiculous. I mean, I guess I'm not really concerned.
We're getting up there. Numbers.
We're getting up there. We're almost at 20. Ooh, we got to do something big for 20. Hey, yeah, your boys are back. And oh man, it was a big day in the world of baseball. We have never started off with baseball on the Lockdown Podcast, but we are today around probably 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock today. Bryce Harper finally signed to the Philadelphia Phillies. 13-year deal, $330 million contract. Now, I know what you guys are thinking right off the bat. There's got to be an opt-out around year six, year five, year seven. Brycey boy asked for no opt-outs. He wanted this. No opt-outs, a full no-trade clause, and a $20 million signing bonus. Oh, man. Bryce Harper's going to be in Philly when we're going to be 36 when this contract ends, basically. We're going to have kids by that time. They're going to be like, Dad, who's this old man coming up to the plate with like gray hair and he's getting batteries thrown at him? Like, what is this? It's like, oh, son, let me tell you an old tale of Bryce Harper. What are our thoughts on this deal? It's a huge deal, man.
Crazy. I mean, the thing that shocked me the most was no opt-outs. You know, it's like he's going into this. He's never played for Philly. He doesn't know what it's going to be like. Doesn't know what the city's like. Doesn't know what the team's going to be like. And so he's risking that. He's going to be playing there for 13 years, and if he just gets upset at any point where he just wants to leave, it's like he has no choice other than if he got traded, you know? So, I mean, it's interesting. It's good for him. He found a place. I know he wanted to play with one team for the rest of his career. That was one of his desires, and he wanted no opt-out for some reason, but it's good for him. He found his right team, and yeah. See what happens.
I mean, they're going to be good for the foreseeable future. But not for the next 13 years, right? No. Like, no. Like they have a pretty good roster from what they've been from who they've been able to sign in the offseason. So, I mean, they're going to look pretty good the next, you know, 2 or 3 years. But, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see in the far future how that works out for them. But
well, the Phillies do actually have a lot of money still, apparently. Even with signing Bryce Harper, they still have money.
Well,
and
I mean,
they
yeah,
may possibly be able to get Mike Trout in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a hard cap league. So, I mean, as long as the owner has money, you can sign whoever you want.
And I mean, so, well, before I go into the Phillies as a whole, there are a couple other points I had on Harper. Scott Boras, the agent for Bryce Harper, said they had a full buffet, but the commitment to the future is what pushed them over to Philadelphia, which I thought was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Originally, there was a report saying there was one team that was willing to give Harper $45 million per year, and it just got announced it was the Dodgers, mm-hmm. but they were only going to give him a 4-year deal. But that would have broken, like,
180 million.
The AAV record by like a crazy amount. $45 million a year. That's wild. Yeah. The Giants also offer a 12-year, $310 million deal. So it's a big contract, man. I'm happy for Bryce that it wanted something that he did say, and the contract also speaks for itself that he wants to be in one city for the rest of his career. Because after that, he's retiring after this, like there's no way he's gonna last after 13 years. Like it's crazy. So,
funny stat. I heard there's a former player that played for the Mets. His name is like Bobby Bonilla, and he doesn't even play anymore. He's still getting paid, and he's gonna be getting paid even after Bryce's
4 years
is
after
up.
Bryce's contract.
And through 2035, he's still getting paid by the Mets, and he doesn't even play.
Yeah. What?
Yep.
Isn't that crazy?
How?
I don't know how much, but he's still getting paid.
I don't know how it happened, but I have never looked into the
deal. I was like, wow.
This is like, there's like an anniversary date. I don't know when it is, but every single year, SportsCenter and MLB will post a picture of him like, this man is still getting paid, and he retired like 10 years ago.
That dude is a businessman.
So, yeah, so the Phillies look good this year. They're going to look good. They also signed Real Muto, Segura, David Robertson, Andrew McCutcheon, now Harper. Like, this is a team that's going to make a real push for the National League. I mean, the East for sure, but I think also the National League as a whole, because they we've talked about it before, where with Machado going to San Diego, that's not enough for really for any of us to be like, oh man, San Diego's a big team. But Philly's made a lot of add-ons this offseason. So that's one could go out and say this offense and defense is stacked all around. So
yeah, they're a really good all-around team. It'll be exciting to see how they do this year.
Yeah. The final notes I had on Philadelphia as well. Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel are out. So, I mean, obviously, they're out on any Philadelphia talk. Unless they want to accept short-term deals, which, if we're looking at it, they might have to because I don't think anybody wants. Yeah. I mean, I don't know who, especially Kimbrell, I understand because he wanted big time money, but Keuchel, like, I almost feel bad at this point. Like, he's been killing it for Houston the last like 5-6 years, and he's got no team right now, which is, there's still a lot of players out there that still don't have teams, but baseball, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guys want 10 plus year contracts, especially guys that have to rely on pitching. That's kind of tough. Sure. You know, it's like you could have to get Tommy John surgery and your career's over, and it's like, I'm signed for another 9 years, idiot. So, you know, it's, yeah, I don't doubt teams at all for not wanting to sign pitchers to like 10-year contracts.
It's a good point.
I don't think that's a good idea.
It's crazy how much different contracts are in baseball than in any other sport. Understandably, I mean, because there's 162 games a year.
Yeah.
But it's just insane. It's like, even like the decision that Kyler Murray made to go to football is costing himself a lot of money, but at the same time, he's going for his desires and what he wants to do.
That's true. Well, also, like, when you get drafted, you have to play in the farm league for like 4 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if he gets taken number one, like I'm predicting,
he's gonna get like over 20 million.
He's gonna get a solid contract off the bat. Yeah.
Speaking of Kyler Murray, the NFL Combine starts tomorrow, mm-hmm. and Kyler Murray has been he's been in the talks already. He came mm-hmm. in. He got measured, which is a very weird thing for all the NFL to be waiting for, is Kyler Murray's measurements. But it was for good reason, because we don't know how tall he was going to be walking into the draft at. And he measured in 5'10", 210 pounds, I believe. Was
hey,
that
that's
it was?
Me. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, 5'10".
And we got the white Kyler Murray in the house.
got the fat Kyler Murray in the house.
No. Matt, why are you not at the combine, bro? Come on. Yes, and which if you look at the some pages on Instagram compared him with Russell Wilson, and it's pretty similar, like maybe a couple inches and pounds, give or take here and there. But Kyler, I don't think he's in as bad shape as people think he's going to be in. Like, if Russell Wilson, he has his struggles here and there, but I mean Matt made the pick a couple weeks ago that Arizona is going to be taking him number one in the NFL draft. By the looks of it, I'll hand it over to Matt to talk a little bit about that because, Kyler's in the talks again.
What about Josh Rosen deleting all of his Instagram pictures of the Arizona Cardinals?
The petty wars have begun.
I don't know if he's like throwing shade at the organization or if maybe he heard something from an agent. I don't know what's going on right now. I just think it's really funny. I don't think that's the thing you want to do, though. I think if you're Josh Rosen, you want to double down. You want to be like, this is my team. This is my franchise. I feel like that's what you should do. And then if they trade you, then you can kind of be like, you can kind of label them as the bad guys. Nah, it just kind of looks like you're being petty.
How funny would it be if Arizona picks Nick Bosa to start off the draft? And then everyone's like, oh no. Oh, Josh. I mean, it's not going to happen, but yeah, I think they're going to get Kyler. I hope they do.
They might get Nick Bosa. I don't know. We'll see. He's going to be good. But like, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of
Chandler Jones.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, that too. Yeah. There's been a couple GMs, the Chiefs being one of them, that have gone out and said that they're very impressed with Kyler. He did some mm-hmm. practice throwing. So he did some practice throwing today, but I don't know how true this is or if it's really happened, but he said that he's not doing drills at the combine. Was that true?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Huh. So, I mean, so what he just kind of does it like his vitals and that's it?
Most likely combine? He'll do like measurements and interviews with the teams, because every team has 15-minute interviews with players. I don't remember how many that they're limited to, but I'm sure he's more on the measurement and the personal side of things, a part of the combine.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair. Nice. So yeah, it'll be excited as you know, this we're entering draft season, boys, and I can't wait. March Madness is coming up pretty soon. Oh, we're gonna have a lot to talk about that.
Oh yeah, yep. We are.
Tomorrow's March, boys.
Oh, I'm really can't wait excited. For that.
We're gonna be talking a lot about that on lockdown over the next couple weeks.
Oh. I don't know if we talked about this before. Did we talk about Zion?
We talked about him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I don't know.
Is he sitting out?
No. Did we talk about if he should sit out?
Oh yeah, yeah, we did last.
We did. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well,
yeah, I think it's interesting.
He should rest though. Like while we're on the topic, I think he definitely should take this time right now to rest because they're gonna. We've seen with Duke, they're gonna need him.
March. Yeah, they're gonna need him during the tournament. So
I still think Duke will go far, but that'll be good. Yeah. I don't know how to segue into this. Hey, Jason Witten's back. yeah, I'm not just screwing around right now. Jason Witten is back. He came out of retirement today, and Dallas signed. I don't know. Dallas got him on a 1 year.
They brought him out of retirement. He was still on contract with them.
1 year. Oh yeah. Was 1 year.
Really? Yeah. Wow. He still had his deal going on, and then he retired. Which means that the Cowboys didn't have to pay him his deal. But for him to come back, the Cowboys would have had to either cut him or basically just like re-accept his contract. So that's what they did.
He's getting $5 million right now.
That's why he was immediately just like with the Cowboys because that's how it had to go if he came back to the league.
Nice. So they need it. they really needed the big man help.
They had a tight end start breaking out at the end of last year.
Oh, that's right.
Blake Jarwin.
Blake Jarwin's been playing really well. I was excited to see how he was going to do as like the real number one tight end. So I don't know. I think this might hurt his career.
Well, now he's able to learn from Witten for a year.
Yes.
And develop under him. Witten can be a coach. Too. I mean,
that's true. I mean, Witten obviously can't be an announcer because he sucks. So yeah, like,
he was bad, and he destroyed the Pro Bowl trophy. So
never again.
Nope. So, but he's not even going to be in shape. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe he'll be like a Kellen Moore thing. Well, he'll be a player, but he'll just like be a coach.
It's fair.
Apparently, he's already in decent shape. So.
I mean, I'm sure he kept himself working out. But, I mean, decent shape is different than football shape.
Sure.
Right.
Honestly, yeah.
We'll see how he can adjust to that. But, yeah. Yeah, Kellen Moore, isn't he their offensive coordinator?
He's their offensive coordinator.
He's going to be coaching Jason Witten.
That's going to be weird.
That's.
I don't know.
Should be the other way around.
Did you see Randy Gregory got suspended indefinitely?
Oh, really?
Doesn't catch me by surprise.
I'm real upset about it.
Oh, Randy.
It finally looked like he turned his career around after so much BS when he was coming out of college. And it was like, finally. And he's out of the NFL.
God. Man.
Idiot.
What the heck?
But now the Cowboys don't have to pay him, which means maybe now they can afford to get Dak and DeMarcus Lawrence.
That's true. That's true.
So how do you guys think Jason Witten's going to play out then? Like in general, you think he's going to have a productive season?
Look at that. Aww.
See, I just know.
Yeah. I don't know, Matt.
Garbage. That's how I think.
Yeah.
Listen, he can catch the ball, but he's just going to be super slow. All the other tight ends are going to be much faster. I don't think he's going to be as physical as he used to be. Again, he hasn't played football in over a year.
Mm.
So he's not going to be as physical as he used to be. You know, he's older. I really hope he doesn't get injured because that would really, really suck if he came out of retirement and made this comeback and then immediately like tore his ACL or something.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna go that well, honestly. Honestly, my thought about the Kellen Moore thing is true. I think he might play a little bit, but I think mainly he'll be there to groom the young guys and kind of transition into like a position coach.
Yeah, no, I agree. I absolutely agree. Yeah. He's more. I think it's more, you know, beneficial for the Cowboys on the locker room side, on the personal side. He's gonna really help these young guys out. I don't think as a player he's gonna really perform like he ever has.
Yeah.
I think he'll produce. Not great. He'll produce.
I mean, he's big. Like he could help in that red zone maybe a little bit.
He's a great route runner.
Yeah, he's a good route runner. He's
you
got
don't have to
hands,
be that athletic to be a great route runner.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, I think he'll have a decent year, but he's going to be great for the locker room for sure.
And they still don't know who's calling plays yet.
Oh, really?
They don't know.
Jason Witten's calling plays, don't you know?
Jason Witten? Even Jason Garrett, but anyways, Jason Garrett was like rumored to be calling plays, but then Jerry Jones came out and said that he doesn't want Jason Garrett calling plays. But then people are like, so Kellen Moore's gonna be calling? He doesn't know how to call plays at all. So now nobody even knows he's gonna be calling plays. And it's a mess. It's a mess.
Tony Romo's coming back. He's calling plays.
I would actually work.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, everyone, I saw it on Twitter a couple minutes ago. Everyone's like so excited, like, oh, Witten's back, baby, Witten's back. And Stephen A was all mad about it. I'm like, guys, why are we acting like they just signed like a 5-time all star, like right after an all star season? Like, this is a guy who's been retired for a year. Like, he's been in the most activity he's probably been doing is like the Monday Night Football booth. He's just chilling. Nothing against him. He's just chilling. Then he got the phone calls, like, yeah, you know, I'll be like Dirk, you know, I'll go out there and I'll be the nostalgic boost for everybody. No, homie, like, it's not how it's going to work. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
not how this thing works.
Yep.
Like, Dirk's one thing. He's out there just like, yeah, good one. Yeah. And Jason's going to be like, why are you guys running so fast? Like, it's I don't know. So I don't mean to. I love Jason Witten. I really do. But not in a sound booth or, you know, commentating booth.
Yeah.
Hey,
speaking of this sound booth, though, who's going to replace him on Monday Night Football?
I think, you know, that there's a really smart football mind. He used to be coach. His name is John Gruden. Oh, wait.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh. Oh, no. I don't know.
That's you hate to see that.
You hate to see that.
I think he's like looking back, like, oh, I could have had that spot back.
Yeah, they would have called him like today, too. I'd be like, hey, John.
He'd be like, quit. Yep, I'm going back.
But 10 or 9 more years in Oakland or whatever city they're turning into. Yeah. Vegas. Oh, yeah. Whatever.
Bring back the Gruden grinder so that he can say that he wants the players on his team and then he goes to that team and then immediately trades the player.
Yeah.
Like the Jeter effect, baby.
Like with Khalil Mack. That might be my favorite thing of all time. Is him on? It's like a video of him on Monday Night Football. Like, Khalil Mack is the type of guy I would want on my team. This is the guy you build a franchise around. And then it cuts immediately to him trading Khalil Mack. And it's like, oh my gosh.
You honestly hate to see it. So, hey, I ran another poll today. We're going to end with this topic. Maybe we'll go on a little bit more. I don't know. I ran another poll today, though. I asked a question. We got some responses. Well, no responses, but we got poll runnings. I asked this question. Are the Celtics really better off without Kyrie Irving? The reason I asked that question is because there was a stat line that got brought up today on SportsCenter's Instagram. Over the last 6 games with Kyrie, the Celtics are 0-6, have just over 100 points per game, and have allowed 118 points per game. Without Kyrie in the last 6 games, they are 6-0, have scored 114 points, and allowed just over 100 points. So that's kind of, I saw that and said, oh shoot, we got to talk about that because that's really interesting. We've dabbled on the topic before here, but I really want to, let's end the show on this, you know, see where we go with it. So a lot of our, on Twitter, a lot of people responded, stop it. Of course they're not better. Instagram was 50-50. I thought that was really interesting. Facebook was 100%. Yes, the Celtics are better off without Kyrie Irving. One of those votes was mine. What are our thoughts? Are the Celtics better off? I'm not going to say benching because, of course, they're not going to bench Kyrie. No. But if we're looking into the future, are they better off without Kyrie Irving?
Okay. Let's approach this from 2 angles, defensive angle and an offensive angle, because it's a very big difference here. Defensively, the Celtics are worse with Kyrie on the floor, even in big games, even in playoff moments. Kyrie Irving is not a good defender. I'm not going to sit here and say Terry Rozier is like this amazing defender, but he's scrappy, he hustles, and he'll play hard, and he'll harass the ball handlers. Kyrie just kind of chills. And he's just like, listen, man, I put up like 30 and 12, 30 and 14. I'm not gonna try on defense. Kind of like LeBron's doing right now. And even when we come to the playoffs, he still kind of does that same thing.
Yeah.
So defensively, and you could tell by the stats that Zach just gave, defensively, they're a much better team without Kyrie. Now, offensively is where the real debate comes in. Because when we get to the playoffs, common knowledge dictates that you need a guy like Kyrie. You know, a closer who can hit big shots. You know, they say that you have to have this, you know, forgetting that the Detroit Pistons almost went back-to-back championships without one of those guys. But, yeah, it's whatever. But, okay, I got a cool stat here.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so when Kyrie Irving attempts 20 or more shots a game, the Celtics are 8-11 this year. Mm. When he shoots 19 or more, they're 12-14. Basically, just supporting the fact that the more he shoots, the more ball dominant he is, the more aggressive he is, they lose a lot of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because the ball isn't finding Jason Tatum enough. Maybe it's because the ball just isn't moving in general. Al Horford's not getting open looks. Other guys aren't, you know, finishing opportunities. But at the end of the day, I think when playoff time happens, I think the team is better off with Kyrie. I really do. I think you get to that fourth quarter, it's a close game. You know, Kyrie hits that step back in a dude's face for the three to take the lead. He does that stuff all the time in big games, and I think he will help them in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe if you go into a season without Kyrie and you build this entire big system around Tatum and Hayward and Brown and all these guys, maybe when you get to that point, maybe they'll be a little bit better. But I don't know. I think they're better off not signing him this offseason, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing to develop their players they have, maybe add one or two more role guys.
Yeah, I think
that's my analysis.
I the one thing I noticed with this team, I watched them, you know, they lost to Portland last night, and it was just it's a continued issue of a loss or a lack of identity on this team, that Brad Stevens has a vision and he tries to establish it. And I'm not saying Kyrie is disrupting it, but he's not helping it. And I'm not going to put all the blame on Kyrie. Like, watching this game, Kyrie took a lot of shots last night. And it when he does that, it forces guys like Gordon Hayward and Tatum and Brown and Smart. They get in a few drives, they get maybe two or three attempts to hit a shot. And if they miss it, that's one of few they're going to get for the half or for the game, because Kyrie's taking so many shots. So you're almost, you're putting so much of a pressure on the rest of the team that you have to be perfect when Kyrie, when he gets you that ball, you better make it. But it's like, well, dude, you're shooting it like 60% of the time, 60-70% of the time. And I know we've talked about it before, like this is why guys like Gordon Hayward are struggling to produce right now, because you're forcing them to hit perfection and the ball's not traveling around as much when Kyrie gets rolling. It's kind of like when you have the ball hog on your team. I'm not saying Kyrie's this person, but when he gets mad, he just refuses to pass. Like Russell Westbrook used to be very much like this. He still is at times. Mm-hmm. He just refuses to pass the ball because he's so angry and he's going to beat this team by himself. It's kind of, and if you watch Kyrie on the bench, he's getting to that point where he just looks at his teammates like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, what are we doing? What are you doing? Like, the Celtics are a mess right now. Like, they really, I am so upset at this team as a whole, as a unit right now, because they don't look like a unit right now. Like, there's just so much chaos. And yeah, I do expect them to start getting better towards the end of the season into the playoffs. Like, my hope for a finals run is starting to diminish. It's getting to that point where I'm like, maybe I should just start getting to the point where I'm like, you know what? There's always next year, because like it's getting rough, guys. Like, Chris, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I have the same thoughts as you guys, and you know, it's this year they got to roll with him. I mean, they're not going to bench him, of course, and he's going to be a factor come playoff time, that they have a closer that they can go to. But moving forward from this season, I do think that they should move on from him. They have enough money, they have enough draft picks to be able to build around. They also have a lot of young talent, as they right now. Jason Tatum is on the rise. He's going to be maybe even a superstar sometime. But in general, you know, Kyrie has this alpha dog mentality in a way where he just wants the ball. He's like a James Harden where he wants the ball all the time. And, you know, the Celtics are a team that you know, they have so many good players. They need to share the ball more. You know, everybody needs a chance to score. It's like they're not playing team basketball when he's on the floor, you know, and yeah. when he's off the floor, they seem like they mesh a lot better. Like they're more of a team. They're more cohesive. And I don't know what life is like in the locker room right now with Kyrie. Yeah, you know, I can't imagine what it's like.
It can't be good. Yeah.
You know, and it's, I don't know. Brad Stevens is a good coach too. You know, I would think the chemistry would be a lot better with him. So, well,
and it's interesting because Marcus Smart made a comment. I couldn't tell you what it was exactly. Maybe you guys remember it, but he made a comment about the team that it's very similar to Marcus Morris's comment earlier that they're not having fun anymore.
They're not playing together.
They're not playing together.
They're not playing together.
And Kyrie exactly. came out and said that was just his opinion. Yep. It's like, my guy, Marcus Smart was probably 10 feet away from you when you said that. Like, he had to be on the other side getting a very similar interview. Like, that, I heard that, and I'm like, you know what? I'm in support of the West Wing over here. Mm. Kyrie, you're not making this easy for this team right now. Like, and there's a really funny picture from, I think it was the 2016 playoffs or 20, when Kyrie and LeBron are both making that playoff run. And LeBron was looking at Kyrie on the bench. He was just like giving him a mean mug, just staring at him. And Kyrie was off looking at the ground. Last night or two nights ago, Kyrie was looking at, I think it was Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, one of the two, same exact facial expression that LeBron made. And it's like the Dark Knight, where it's like either die hero or live long enough to become then villain. It's like, come on. Like, I'm maybe that's a little dramatic, but at the same time, it's like, I'm not liking what I see in Kyrie Irving right now. He's just, he's becoming everything we didn't want to happen when we signed him to this team, you know? Like, it's almost like we were just saying, like, when you take Kyrie out, I don't care who you put at the point. Smart, Rozier, that's a unit on that court. It's like a scrappy unit that's going to fight for those wins. When Kyrie's out there, it's like, we're going to win. All right, Kyrie, how are we going to win? We're going to win. That's what he's been saying recently. It's like, oh, I still expect us to make a good playoff push. All right, how? We're going to make a good playoff push. Like, all right, you know what? I got to see it to believe it. Like, that's where I'm at with his team right now.
And when I watch the Celtics on the floor with Kyrie, it's like he doesn't put hardly as much effort into the game as anybody else out there. You see Marcus Smart going after the ball all the time. You see, you know, Terry Rozier is going after it. They're all playing so hard, and Kyrie's just like, he's like lackadaisical, and he's not the leader that we thought he could be.
Yeah, he has to save his energy for when he plays ISO ball in 28 possessions in a row.
Yeah,
that's why he doesn't have any good effort. But you made a great point about James Harden. I want to go back to about the way that the Rockets operate. Well, the thing about the Rockets is their second best player is Chris Paul, and he's a veteran who maybe isn't a spot up shooter, but he can adjust the way James Harden plays. And they have guys like Eric Gordon, who's a really good spot up 3-point shooter. They have Gerald Green. They have Austin Rivers. They have guys who can spot up and shoot. The problem with the Celtics is that they have a lineup full of guys who need the ball in their hands. Mm-hmm. And I know this has kind of been a thing we've said forever, and it's apparent when Kyrie's on the floor. We're like, Al Horford is probably their best spot-up shooter, him and Marcus Morris. Marcus Smart, excuse me. Yeah. Marcus Smart has been killing it this year. Like, he's really impressed me for how good he's shooting the three ball. And then Al Horford. But, like, Jason Tatum, great. Not a spot-up 3-point shooter. Gordon Hayward, great. Not a spot-up 3-point shooter. Jaylen Brown, great. More of a slasher, more of like a slashing playmaker. Mm-hmm. These guys don't mesh with what Kyrie wants to do, you know? And at the end of the day, you need like the way the Bucks have built it around Giannis, where you have Giannis and you have four guys around who can all shoot and they spread the floor for Giannis and then he can dominate the paint. Perfect chemistry. You have Toronto, who's super deep, who, you know, can either go with Siakam or Gasol or can go Ibaka and Gasol and can really dominate you inside the paint. All these guys have the identities, like Zach said earlier. The Celtics just don't have an identity. They have guys who want to get the ball, and they want to go ISO, and they want a Mamba mentality, fade away, jump shot the ball. Mm. And it's like,
they're not that kind of team.
You're not gonna win that way. Mm. Like, that's not the kind of coach Brad Stevens is. That's not the scheme you have. And they're not going to beat any of the elite teams in the East playing that way.
Mm-hmm. All their better players on their team, too, like Al Horford and Gordon Hayward, and they're not the players that they used to be when Kyrie's on there.
That's also true.
Like, if if Kyrie wasn't on the floor with them, I'm sure that they would be. I mean, Gordon Hayward's coming off that nasty injury.
Yeah.
But even so, you know, it's like they probably would be much better if Kyrie would mesh better with the team.
I mean, their games with like Horford look so good. Yeah. It's like he's getting looks and he's playing amazing defense and he's spreading the ball around.
Player.
And it's like, oh my gosh, where is he all the other days?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's because they're just not getting him involved.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe I think this is almost the swan song of Boston sports that we talk about this and there's so much demise, but they're still 37-25. They're still six games ahead of the bottom half of the East. In the grand scheme of things, these are almost good issues to have where it's time to start addressing this now. And you got to know Brad Stevens has been watching this. You got to know that's why he's been flipping out on the referees and why he's been flipping out on this team. Because it's getting to the point, it's like change has got to happen. So now, with that being said, their second half of the schedule is not looking too good. It's a rough one, boys.
It's a doozy.
Yeah.
So we've got tomorrow, Friday, March 1st, tomorrow night, we've got Washington. Okay. Sunday, Houston. Tuesday, Golden State. Wednesday, Sacramento. Saturday, the Lakers. And Monday, the Clippers. Then back to Sacramento. Then we got like Denver. We've got San Antonio. A lot of West teams. Miami in a back-to-back. Look, it's not an easy schedule. That's what I'm trying to say here. There's a lot of good, like, bottom half of the East teams, like, that are right there looking to beat a team like Boston to say we are competitors in the East. So to flip it back over, I am terrified for the second half of the season.
Well, looking at their current position in the playoff standing, they're actually in a really good position right now.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is probably going to pass Indiana up for the 3 seed. Which means Boston's first matchup is most likely going to be Boston versus Indiana, of course, without Victor Oladipo. And that should be a win.
Yeah.
You know?
Indy's looking really good right now, though. Oladipo.
They're playing well. I'll give them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're playing very well, but I don't think.
Better than expected.
They are. But they're only one game ahead of Philly, and I don't think they're going to be able to keep that up over the rest of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and then after Boston plays that series, they'll probably have to play Milwaukee, which will be bad. But at least, like, you know, but I think the reason why everyone talks about it, Zach, is because last year without Kyrie, they got to the conference finals. So it's not even so much about Boston as it is just about Kyrie, about like maybe Kyrie doesn't actually help you become a better team. Like, remember when Kyrie, this is of course going back to when Kyrie was a young player, so he's changed, but even when he was a young guy, those Cavaliers teams were horrible. Like, you'd be like, Kyrie went off for 45 points, and it's like, yeah, but they lost by like 23, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then he only ever became an efficient player when he was with LeBron. And then immediately now, after LeBron, it's like, is this team better without Kyrie? So I think the reason why people talk about Boston so much is just because people don't really know for sure whether Kyrie is an elite player. Like, you can put up stats and numbers, and that's cool. But to be elite, you have to help a team win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't be an elite player in the NBA and not be a driving force behind the team winning games.
Yeah.
Like, that's foolish. So I think that's why people talk about it so much, is because it's an interesting topic. Because Kyrie's explosive. He can score the basketball. He can pass. He does all these things. But they're better without him. I don't know why.
I don't know. That's a good point. I don't know, man. Well, just the freaking Celtics, I swear, man, like the memes that could come out from this season. It's literally a roller coaster this year, and it's giving me a heart attack. I'm glad baseball is almost back.
I want to talk about one more person in the NBA before we go. You know what? Did you see what Russell Westbrook did to that kid in the stands?
Oh, yeah.
Homie. I thought he was going to.
He's unbelievable. I can't deal with Russell Westbrook anymore. I actually can't.
Go off.
You know what any other star in the NBA would do? LeBron James does that. He pats the kid on the head. Like, you do it to James Harden, and James Harden like hugs the kid. Like, every other star in the NBA would have like high-fived the kid or played along and been nice to the dang 10-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And Russell Westbrook starts yelling at the kid.
He squared up on him.
He squared up on him. He was picking him. Squared up on him. Like, what? I can't, dude. Russell Westbrook, man.
And because of that, they lost to the Nuggets.
Well, he's just so hot-headed all the time. Oh, it's so easy to get in his head. Like, he's shooting horribly from the free throw line. He's a worse free throw shooter than LeBron James. Come on, man. That's hard to do. Like, but he used to be great. He used to be like a 90% free throw shooter.
Yeah.
It's not like he forgot how to shoot. It's like he gets in his own head so easily. And I think that's why at the end of games, like in playoff games, he's like, I'm going to be the best. 3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3. Because he wants to prove it to himself. Maybe he wants to prove it to himself more than anybody else that he's like the best player in the world.
He's got some inner wounds, man.
Maybe, man. Maybe. But I don't know. He's got some stuff going on.
Regular season Russ has always been better than playoff Russ. Like, it's been proven time and time again can you imagine a guy like Lance Stevenson guarding Russell Westbrook? It wouldn't have matchup wise. It couldn't happen. But just for a dude, Lance would destroy Russell Westbrook. He'd walk up and be like,
he would just blow in his ear.
Dude, you go, your new shoe line is whack. And it'd be over. He would like be shooting every shot. And Paul George would be like, yo, hey, outlet. And he's like, nah, man, I got this. And he'd be like, miss four in a row. And Lance would just be playing guitar in the background. It'd be hilarious. Yeah. Like, you're right. It's so easy to get in his head. It's insane.
I've never seen it. Like, no other star I've ever seen in my life. Maybe like Allen Iverson. But at least Allen Iverson in his prime could just be like, all right, talk smack, put up 64.
True.
Like, yeah. You know, yeah. Russell, like, isn't like, well, also the league's changed, but Russell isn't that type of guy, because if he puts up that many points, he takes like 1,000 shots and has horrible efficiency. And it's like, yeah.
Imagine Billy Donovan, though. He's just like, what do you do? He's been doing this for years. Like, what do you do on the side?
Remember, like, he coached college kids for a long time. And then he goes and coaches Russell. He's just like, oh my gosh. This is way worse than I thought.
Like, the team therapist probably quit. Like, he's like, you got this, Billy. Like, it's all you now, bro. Like, it's like, what are you supposed to do with that? Like, I don't know. But you know what? Russ is going to keep dominating the regular season. He's going to keep doing his thing. Every year, it's like, this is the year. This is the year OKC goes back. It's not going to happen.
Every game, Steven Adams is going to box out a guy, go for a rebound, then be like, oh, no, wait, that's Russell Westbrook's rebound. And then Russell will be like, get my triple-double.
like, cares about.
Like, what always happens. So ridiculous. There's like, so many good compilations online of, like, Steven Adams, like, either shooting the ball or, like, trying to get a rebound, and Russ, like, stealing the ball from him. Steven's just like, all right. I had no idea that was a thing. It's so good. Oh, my gosh.
That's also a part of the... Can you imagine, like, playing 2K and that's one of the game plans is stat pad Russ? And, like, Steven Adams will just start, like, transitioning down the court and Russ is the only guy in the paint.
I would give props to Steven Adams, though, man. Like, he could be, like, one of the best centers in the NBA.
Easily.
Like, he has a skill set. He's strong. He's versatile. He can do everything you ask him to do. But he doesn't average a lot of rebounds because he lets Russ get the rebounds. He doesn't average a lot of points because he lets Russ take 30 shots a game. Like, Steven Adams, man, all respect goes to that man, because he could average like 25 and 17, 18. Like, he's that good.
You know, I think he's like one of 17 kids or something like that.
What? <real?
laughs> Yeah, Steven Adams is like one of 17 kids.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a lot of kids.
That's a lot.
Maybe that's why he's so like forgiving and like forthcoming and so like cool with Russ.
I grew up like getting beat up, like jumped by his brothers.
Because he had to share everything because he had 17 kids.
Yeah, that too. my pessimistic mind. Oh man. We got anything else, boys?
That's everything I wanted to talk about. We got Russ out of the way.
Gritty.
How about the Nuggets?
Still playing well.
Nuggets look good, man.
If they win, they take the one seed, right?
Yep. They'll have the same record as the Warriors, but they had the tiebreaker. So,
wait,
Nuggets could be the number one seed.
They can clinch?
No. They're
just take the
temporarily. Seed. They'll take the number one seed.
Oh.
Over the Warriors.
Like, damn, I didn't know
that. We're on a 5-game win streak. They're looking great. They're so fun to watch right now.
I'm rooting
meshing so well as a team.
I'm rooting hard for Denver come playoff time.
Two straight years, they got the 9 seed, and now they're just killing it. It's good to see them finally do well. And
they're home, their home road split is almost even too. 23-8 at home, 20-10 away. That's pretty impressive.
They had the best home record in the league. They're 8-1 in the division, 3-0 versus OKC. I mean, they're just dominating the series.
Oh wait, sorry. I read Golden State's stat line. 27-4 at home, 15-14 on the road, which is still good. That's still pretty impressive. But at home, dang, at home, they've only lost four times this year. That's probably the best
record in the league at home.
Wow. Get number one seed, that'd be amazing.
If they can get that one seed, it'd be so good for them.
Because if we could host the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals and have home court, oh man, that'd be huge.
I mean, let's not do this now. They're not beating the Warriors. Come on now.
Honestly,
don't hype yourself up.
If they play like they have, I give them a chance.
I love Matt just throwing Chris.
They can match up with the Warriors.
this is like Pacers fans back when they were up against the Heat, and it's like, all right, Roy Hibbert, calm down.
Pacers fans, bro.
I think they might be another year away, but they can match up with the Warriors.
They're a KD.
Speak it, Chris.
They're a KD leaving Golden State away from winning the championship. I agree. As soon as KD leaves the Warriors, the Nuggets will get to the NBA Finals. That's honestly what I believe. It's just you have too many closers at the end of games, too much three-point shooting.
But we got the Joker.
I hate it. They do have Jokic. Jokic is really good.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So just wait.
Just wait. You know what else is beast?
What's that?
The fact that we're on 10 different listening platforms.
Whoa, that's a lot of platforms.
10.
Yeah.
That's literally 10 more. Like, we're on 10 platforms. Do you know how many World Series the Yankees have won this decade?
How many?
Big fat zero. You have 10 more compared to the Yankees World Series. That's crazy.
You're such a jerk, dude. You're so bad.
It's insane. Do you know? You know what's. We are on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.